I had the sense as I was being prayed for before preaching this morning that there are some very tender hearts here this morning. And these are hearts that the Lord has made tender. It is a gift from Him, although at times a tender heart is painful for us. And I think sometimes we want to deny the tenderness of the heart that we experience, somehow shut off the emotion and the pain. And particularly, I have the sense that this tenderness and this emotion and this pain and sometimes even this grief, that we have this wrong belief that this is not something that we can bring before the Lord. As if somehow we're not supposed to experience that, and therefore we need to hide it from Him. If we look throughout Scripture, we find again and again that the Lord honors us when we come to Him with what we are truly experiencing. Listen to this from Psalm 22. This is a psalm of David. And he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you remain so distant? Why do you ignore my cries for help? This is from Psalm 43, verse 2. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in darkness, oppressed by my enemies? This is from Psalm 44, starting in verse 23. And listen to the words that are said here. This is extraordinary. Wake up, O Lord! Why do you sleep? Get up! Do not reject us forever! Why do you look the other way? Why do you ignore our suffering and oppression? We collapse in the dust, lying face down in the dirt. Rise up, come and help us. Save us because of your unfailing love. And God says this, this is in Joel, 2nd chapter in verse 12. The Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief. Instead, tear your hearts. Again and again, what we see in Scripture and what we often have so difficult a time living out in our own lives is exposing, revealing to God everything that we are and everything that goes on in us. It is as if we have been shut down emotionally, as if somehow the emotion that we experience, the pain in our heart, is an illegitimate thing to bring before the throne of God. We seem to have no trouble in our relationships often expressing the depth of our emotion, whether it's anger or disappointment or grief. Somehow we can express that often to each other, although sometimes there we seem to be shut down as well. But why is it when we come before the throne of God, we act as if there is only a limited range of what we're allowed to do? You listen to the psalm here. They're saying to God, wake up! Where are you? Get down here! Now, I don't know about you, but it strikes me that if I were to say something like that to God, He'd knock me dead in a second. That somehow He would take such great offense that I needed Him so badly that I would say something like, wake up, come here, we need you right now. That amount of emotion in my heart expressed to Him, He would somehow be so thin-skinned and so on understanding of the one that He made, that instead of hearing me, He'd crush me. How dare we think of God that way? As a thin-skinned, sensitive, I don't know what. He has much greater power and much greater sensitivity to hear our cries than we can possibly imagine. He's not thick-skinned and he's not thin-skinned. He is wide open to hear our cries. And yet somehow we have been restrained. It's as if we've taken a part of our lives and locked it away and not opened it to Him. I think what the Lord desires from us, and Scripture supports this, I'm not making this up, what the Lord desires from us is everything. The full range of who we are, the full range of what we think, the full range of what we feel. He wants everything. And He wants to be a part of, into, everything that we are. But we are raised in a culture, and I mean this as much a church culture as a secular culture, where there are certain things that we're allowed to do in certain venues in public, but we're not allowed to do them in God's presence. When we go to a football game, 40,000 people, including the men, will stand on their feet, throw their hands into the air, and shout for the team they worship. I chose those words on purpose. For the team they worship. But we come to church, and in the presence of the God who made the universe, our worship doesn't look anything like that. None of the enthusiasm which is there for a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team or a hockey team, it's absent. We worship them with more of our heart than it ever would occur to us to worship God. It's as if our dynamic range has just been shrunk up like this. Not only can we not express our pain, though we might cry a little bit, but when we go and pray, our prayer is often something like this. Lord, I come before your throne humbly, and I'm really in pain because this person whom I love is suffering. And Lord, I would ask that you would touch this person whom I love who is suffering and bring her healing, or bring him healing. When the truth is, the emotion that we're feeling is, God, where are you? I need you right now. And I need you in the life of this person that I love so much. And I need you right now. That's what we're feeling. What are we afraid of when we're before Him? And when we've experienced Him, and we know His presence, and we should be shouting with joy, again, it's like the top end of our dynamic range is just crushed down, and it's, thank you, Lord, praise you for the wonderful things you've done in my life. Where's the shout of joy? Remember Jericho? God said, march around that city and just keep marching. Don't do anything. No spear carriers, no warriors, nothing. I just want you to march around that city, and I want the praise leaders to go with you. And I want the praise leaders to blow a long trumpet blast. And after they've blown that long trumpet blast, I want all of you to shout. Then the Israelites gave a great shout of triumph, and the walls came down. And the walls came down. They did nothing. God went ahead. All they did was praise and shout because they had a great God, and the Lord went ahead. The passage Mary Beth read earlier about David's battle with Goliath, and she had a good word, I believe, from the Lord for each of us about the Goliaths in our life. After David, with his little slingshot, that little shepherd boy, killed that giant with one small stone, and Goliath fell, he ran over and cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. And it says, when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Then the Israelites gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines. David, when the Ark of the Covenant is being brought back into Jerusalem, it says this, so all Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to Jerusalem with shouts of joy, blowing horns and trumpets, crashing of cymbals, and loud playing on harps and lyres. As the Ark of the Lord's Covenant entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David dancing and leaping for joy, she was filled with contempt for him. I suspect sometimes, and this is true for me, that when I see people who dance for joy in the presence of the Lord, there's some secret old contempt there. It's really old. I think it goes back generations. I remember as a kid in Presbyterian Sunday school, and there are wonderful Presbyterian churches. I don't mean this as a general remark, but in the Sunday school that I was in, we were taught that it was the crazy Pentecostals who raised their hands, and it was the apostate Catholics who crossed themselves. And so we didn't do either of those things. Now, if we think about it, both of these are things that we do with our bodies that honor God. In fact, look in Scripture, all the places where people are told to pray, and far and away, the one which is most present says, raise your hands when you pray. Paul says, I would that all men would raise hands, holy hands, in prayer. Again and again in Scripture, we hear about shouts of victory, shouts of praise before the Lord. Psalm 58, verse 11, I love this one. The Lord announces victory and throngs of women shout the happy news. Isn't that neat? Psalm 84, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even Jesus. Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, what I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ears, shout from the housetops for all to hear. John 7:37, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, if you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the Scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. In John 11:43, at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! Revelation 7:9. After this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living beings, and they fell face down before the throne and worshipped God. This from Revelation 19:6. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a huge crowd, or the everything that we are, the full range of who we are, the full range of our emotions, from those times of quiet solemnity before the Lord to those times when we should shout. We'd shout for Michael Jordan. We ought to be able to shout for the God of the universe. Yeah. Yeah.
Shout about it.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
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 That quiet, second one was quieter. Let's try that again. Amen. 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 All right. Now, two things that I've talked about for us. And this is not a you and me. I tell you, I was raised, and I don't blame my parents for this. I was raised in a whole culture, a whole church culture, which found emotion very uncomfortable. In fact, amen is right. When we went to church on Sunday, you didn't tell anybody what was wrong in your life because it was inappropriate. Your wife is home. She just had an operation Friday like mine did. And you come to church. How are things? Everything's fine. No problems at all. You got your colon is doubling you over, right? But somebody says, all right, fine. The smile, you know, and you hold the side where it hurts. What is that? The body of Christ ought to be the safest place on earth. And it ought to be the place on earth where it is safest to talk about our sorrows and our joys. And to be able to do it honestly and straightforwardly. It's on earth where the entire range of who we are, emotions, body, heart, mind, spirit, soul, God says He wants all of those things. Do we give Him a little bit of each of those things and keep some of the rest of them in a box? What does that mean? And if we're mad at God, read the scriptures. Lots of people were mad at God. Lots of people were disappointed in Him. Did they say something like, well, Lord, I know You know better, so I'm not going to complain? No, they didn't do that. They spoke out their pain to Him, and they told Him why they were mad at Him, or why they were disappointed in Him, why they were filled with grief. They didn't hide it. My goal is not at all to manipulate this congregation to be more expressive in its worship. But I believe that that will happen if we allow the Lord into every piece of who we are. How can we constrain ourselves? How could we hold back? Whether we're angry and filled with grief, or wanting to shout for joy, or praising in the face of great trial, like Mary Jane said. Sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't want to praise. But Judah, the tribe of Judah, means praise. And when it went into battle, Judah went first. Those who praised went first. And God gave victory. All of this is okay. God seeks all of us. He wants the complaints. He wants the pain. He wants the praise. He wants the shouts. He wants the quiet times and the loud times. He wants everything. And when we allow Him to have everything that we are, then He promises that He will pour through us in power to touch and to heal and to bless and to comfort those around us who are in need. Allow Him to do in us. The more permission we give Him to work in us, the more through us, to bless and to rescue those that He desires in His kingdom. He wants relationship with us. Full, deep, complete relationship. May none of us, myself included, hold back a particle of who we are before the One who made us. Amen.